In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We're just beyond the halfway point now of the great and healing season of Lent. And just as in Advent, we're given a particular Mass with a particular purpose at this very stage of our journey. A Mass that issues forth a great and much needed exhortation for this particular very waypoint during the penitential season. Because the name of this Mass is that exhortation, and that exhortation is this: God is calling His people to rejoice, to be filled with praise for all that He is, for all that He does for us, to rejoice in Christ our Savior. You see, in this Mass, and this happens in each of the penitential seasons, in this Mass, you'll see the lightening of the colors. We go from the deep violet to the liturgical colors of the light rose color. You'll see that the deacon and the subdeacon put on their dalmatic and tunicle respectively, where they have not been wearing them, just their albs and cinctures in Lent so far. The organ returns for us for this one day where it's been silent thus far in Lent. All of these things are gifts to us with a particular design of communication from our God to us, that He wants to help us lift our hearts for the rest of this journey to his cross as we go through the remainder of this blessed season, remembering the great importance that rejoicing has in being a Christian, part of our ongoing relationship and our union with Christ our God. In the introit, you heard the command and the exhortation ring forth: rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be ye glad for her. I was glad when they said unto me, we will go into the house of the Lord. You'll hear in the offertory in just a few short moments: praise the Lord, for the Lord is gracious. Sing praises unto His name, for it is lovely. This day, it's truly a day for us to take a breath in the middle of these 40 days. It's a day for us to regather ourselves. We who have most probably failed to keep the fast perfectly with all of its physical prescriptions and requirements given to us. We who have not kept the fast spiritually with increased prayer, as we spoke about last week, in doing the good works of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of others while we fast. We've probably failed thus far in our true almsgiving, denying ourselves the joy of God that can be experienced within us at relieving someone else's suffering and all the stress of their suffering. You might think, I'm still not hearing a reason to rejoice. You're talking about all of our failures. And you're correct, we don't rejoice in our failures, unless I'm mistaken. If I were to put a mirror under every one of our noses, I bet it would fog up because we still have breath left in us. And as long as we have breath, because God is so long-suffering, patient and merciful and kind to us, we have the opportunity through Him to rise up from our shortcomings and our failures, to get up when we fall. That is the gospel. This is the faith where the weak and those who fail can be made strong and become overcomers and victors in their life, sharing in Christ's victory. And so we're rejoicing in the constant hope of what, not what we are now, but what we now can become because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father. I fear that so many times in all of our lives that we tend to live in the realm of impossible thinking, not possible thinking. We tend to consider things impossible, like becoming an overcomer and a victor over our failing shortcomings, our besetting sins that we've struggled with most of our lives. It's like we're saying to the Lord, there's no way. Don't you see this? Don't you see this? I can't. Great doubts we have that rise up, that we can rise up and ascend out of all of this that we see within ourselves. And so we are given today the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ from St. John chapter 6, where we see the testimony that should lift our hearts to rejoicing as we see Christ fill and overcome the lack that is in his disciples simply by inviting them to join with him. It's the testimony of the feeding of the 5,000, a testimony given in each one of the Gospels. And so today I retell the story, kind of summarizing them all. You see, the multitudes had been with Jesus for many, many days as he was ministering to them, way out in the middle of nowhere. There was nowhere. They had no means, no place to get food for themselves and drink. And his disciples see their weakness growing. And his disciples bring their great need to their Savior. And they bring it to his attention saying, Lord, send them away so that they can go get something to eat, so that they can go find something to drink. But it was the intent of our Lord to continue ministering to them in that place. So he makes a shocking request of them. You give them something to eat. Now you're the disciples. Look around and see 5,000 men, not including women and children. We're going to feed them? That's what he said. You give them something to eat. Lord, we don't have money to feed this crowd. Their view is on what they lack. Jesus, not flinching for a second, asks them, but what do you have? Lord, only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, nowhere near enough to feed this multitude of people. That's impossible. Our Lord has presented his disciples an impossible situation. And all he asks of them is, he didn't ask them, what do you not have? He asked them to give him only what they had. And absolutely and ridiculously limited as it was for the need at hand. And he asked them one simple question. What do you have? Take a note for just a moment on what Jesus had just done. He had extended an invitation to his disciples who were deficient and woefully lacking to join with him in a ministry that would strengthen and sustain the lives of all of these people. And so they give him the little that they have. And Jesus takes the very little that they offered, the 5 loaves, 2 fish, and looking up into heaven, he blessed the offering. And he distributed it into the baskets, and they filled and they filled and they never stopped filling. The 5,000 plus women and children ate to the full and had so much that afterwards, when they collected the leftovers, there were 12 baskets full of bread and fish. I said last week, when the will of man, when your will, my will, and the will of God join together, the word impossible disappears from our reality. The word impossible simply doesn't exist in the kingdom of God because of its Lord, Jesus Christ. Again, let's note just a few things from what we just heard in that. The disciples were thinking, our lack is what is paramount importance. Our eyes are fixed on what we don't have, and we have no way to do this. But Jesus knew that his sufficiency would fill and overcome their lack, and the impossible would turn into a living reality, not just for them, but for the masses. And through the disciples' cooperation with him, lives would be filled and satisfied and sustained. You see, Satan's strategy is always this, not to have us healthily look inward as if inspecting ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit. Satan's big deceit for us is just look at who you're not. Look at you. Look at your failures, your weaknesses, your frailties, your sin. Nothing good can come from you. But Jesus rather says something completely opposite. Jesus says, look upon me. Look upon me. Bring me your lack. Offer only what you have and let that be joined to me. I will take the little that you have and I will join it to myself, my absolute sufficiency. And with me, you will enjoy the good works of salvation and the kingdom of God, both deep within your soul, and enjoy it being manifest through you for the care and the love and the salvation of many. That's what he says to us. So bring us back to where we are in Lent for just a moment. It's as if this day, I want you to remember this, this day, the ways we have fallen short in Lent exist only in one reality, the past. The past. They're not things that we need to focus on any further. They're nothing to us moving forward through Lent unless we give them thought and give them power to be. It's as if Jesus is coming to us all today, is calling us to rejoice with this message. Have you failed to keep the fast fully, to pray more, to give alms? Well, what do you have? What do you have? Offer that to me. Remember Father James, when he was teaching the teachings of Father Zacharias, was teaching us, and this impacted a number of people because you've all talked to me about it. When Father Zacharias talked about the importance of the Christian, we need to know our measure. Know what we can at this stage of our Christian journey do and what we can't. But whatever we can, that we must offer to God. God never calls us to ask us to offer something that is not within us and that we do not have. He asks us to offer what we can. No more, but hear this, no less. No less. Find what you can offer to God and offer it to Him for the remainder of this great season. And He will join you by that offering to Himself, and His sufficiency, it will fill what you lack to overflowing. And will do the wonder of salvation in you and through you as we continue to head directly to the cross, that we might encounter and know the power of the resurrection in our own lives. And today, rejoice with me. Thank God that our salvation is not dependent on us, for we lack much. It is dependent merely on keeping ourselves joined to the one who has everything and loves us dearly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.